Good morning. I'm Donna Quinn, and for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. The city of Seaside, Oregon, has been a tourist destination since before 1871, but in 1871, something happened which brought a spotlight to this small community with the ocean waves crashing right in front of the prom. And we'll talk about what is the prom and all of that today, because my guest is John Rail. John is the Assistant General Manager for the City of Seaside Visitors Bureau and Seaside Civic and Convention Center. Hi, John.
Hi, Donna.
I'm very glad you're here today.
Thank you. It's fun to be here. Glad to be here.
Today we're going to find out more about you and more about Seaside, because we sometimes think we know things, but you dig a little deeper and you find out a lot more that you didn't know. So, John, for those members of our listening audience who are not familiar with you, please tell us a bit about yourself.
Sure. It's hard to believe I've been here almost 5 years now, but I actually graduated from grew up in Southeast Idaho. So I was born and raised in Idaho Falls, Idaho. Spent about a dozen years in Salt Lake City, where I graduated from the University of Utah, and got my start in tourism with the Salt Lake Convention and Visitors Bureau. From there, I worked for a newspaper for about 4 years. And then really just the love I had for tourism, I really wanted to get back into it and was kind of always looking around and exploring different options. Fortunately, my in-laws had moved to this area already, and we'd visited here. And there was this job opportunity with the city of Seaside, and it was a skill set that I thought I had and could give to the city. And so applied for that job. And so came here in June of 2010, and I've been here ever since.
And you are really the person. When you start talking about tourism and Seaside, everyone winds up coming to you, because you have several different job titles. I mean, you've left the desert. You're now in Seaside. Mm-hmm. That's a big transition, yeah. Although it seems to be working well for your family and for you.
Yeah, for sure. When I was hired, as the director of tourism marketing, which it's still a role that I possess for the city. But about a year and a half ago, I was asked to expand my role with the convention center. And so those are some duties that were added to my plate, help our general manager with special projects and different things like that. And then I'm also the public information officer for the city. So wear a few different hats, but it's all kept things really challenging and fun. And invigorating, to tell you the truth. So it's been good.
So the city of Seaside is your employer.
Correct.
Essentially, you work for them. And yep. There is in Seaside, there is a Seaside Chamber, there is a Seaside Visitors Bureau, and then there's the Convention Center. So we have three separate entities. Why don't you just quickly go into the description of what each entity does?
Yeah, the city receives a portion. Well, the bed tax that's placed on visitors when they come into town, the city uses a portion of that money to fund both the Visitors Bureau and the Convention Center. So that's how we're operating. We get confused with the Chamber of Commerce a lot because we occupy the same building. That's for one. But the Chamber actually also used to run the Information Center. So there's a lot of history when you talk, oh, you're the Chamber. And if you look around the state, oftentimes chambers are running visitor centers. So, you know, we're two separate entities, but the City of Seaside Visitors Bureau is the one that's basically greeting and meeting the visitors that come into town through our information center, about 20,000 a year. And we're the ones that are the primary arm for marketing our destination. So we're the official destination marketing organization for Seaside.
So the chamber, because you think a chamber services members of local businesses, mm-hmm. and the chamber is not really, as you say, in some cases it does function also as a visitor center. But your chamber is a separate entity, and then the visitors bureau is in the same building, and you are now stepping up from being just a Seaside Visitors Bureau to
the Convention Center. So I spend a little bit of time over at the Convention Center each week helping out with different special projects that we're working on over there. And again, the Convention Center, just like the Visitors Bureau, a lot of the operational dollars come from a portion of the bed tax, the 8% bed tax that's collected in the city when people stay there. So $100 room, you roll into town, there's an 8% lodging tax, 1% from the state level, so you're going to pay $109. About $2 of that will come to the Visitors Bureau, and an additional about $5 will go to the Convention Center in different mm-hmm. capacities, and that helps us run, market, and hopefully bring more visitors back into town. That's always mm-hmm. the goal.
And we'll talk about when the Convention Center was established and more about that a little mm-hmm. later. The City of Seaside Visitors Bureau, though, is now going to become...
Yeah, we're set to become the official, one of nine official state welcome centers for the state. That's a designation that Astoria has had for many, many years. And so we're really excited about this opportunity. I think it's going to give us the opportunity to expand what we do. When you're a partner with the state, you're obligated to carry a number of brochures. So it's going to increase our load in terms of the brochures that we carry. But it's also going to, I think, just give us a different kind of a platform with visitors. And we already enjoy servicing and assisting visitors, and now that role is just going to be expanded a little bit. There's over 150 visitor centers in the state, but just nine welcome centers. So it's a cool designation.
So the difference between, so essentially in the past, if you came into the City of Seaside Visitors Bureau, you'd find information about what was happening in your local area, mm-hmm. and all about Seaside, and probably you had some things about what Cannon Beach and Astoria, the North Coast.
For sure, yeah.
Essentially.
Yep.
Now that you will be one of nine designated welcome centers by the state of Oregon, mm-hmm. The Oregon Tourism Commission, you will be an official welcome center. So that means that anyone can come into the Seaside Visitors Bureau and find information about something anywhere in the state of Oregon.
That's correct. Yeah, the welcome centers were really set up in kind of key areas where you're coming into the state. So entry points into the state. And Astoria, obviously, it's worked really well. I mean, right here on the Columbia River. Now that opportunity is ours, and basically Travel Oregon just puts the onus on us to carry a certain amount of brochures. They're doing the marketing to get businesses into these different centers, and just to help create awareness for different entities throughout the state.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. So the official welcome center moves from Astoria to Seaside, and is that already happening? Or
officially May 1st.
May 1st.
We're doing
okay.
some things, adding a brochure rack here in the next month or two, but the welcome center's their official kind of operating time frame is from May through October, end of October.
Okay. Oh, that's great.
Yep.
All right, then let's go back to 1871 when Seaside became a tourism destination. What was Seaside like then, and what happened in 1871?
I can't tell you exactly what it was like.
You weren't there?
No, I wasn't there.
Okay.
But it was 1870, Ben Holliday actually came into the area, and he was a railroad tycoon that fell in love and thought, man, I'd like to build something here, and found a piece of property and built this really immaculate Italian-style villa hotel. And that was really, by all accounts, really the first kind of, hey, come and spend some time in Seaside. We now had a lodging establishment that could help people come in from the Portland area and spend some time, and it just took off from there. The city was incorporated in 1899, but we know kind of tourism was alive and well before then.
Well, I know we all say that Lewis and Clark were the first tourists on the North Coast,
yeah.
because they came everywhere. And of course, Astoria being established in 1811, then Seaside was probably where, people would go, but it wasn't officially a place where you could go and stay because there wasn't a hotel.
Right.
So Holliday is really credited then with being the one who...
Yeah, I think so. And then, it was about 40 years later where they had this wonderful idea to create this promenade. At that point in about 1910, it was a wooden boardwalk. And it was about 10 years later that one of the city engineers basically expanded that. And it was property that was deeded by a former mayor of Seaside, Alexander Gilbert. And they created the concrete promenade as we know today. It's obviously received some upkeep and maintenance over the years, but 1.5 miles in length, and just it's such a tremendous jewel and gem for Seaside. It's so iconic, and everybody knows it. Something that's been there for well over 100 years, and such a really cool thing to have in our town.
And if you didn't know, if you know Seaside and you see Holliday Drive, well, now we know it's because
Ben
of Ben Holliday,
yeah.
and then the Gilbert District because of Gilbert.
Right.
So you had a boardwalk then in 1910. There was a boardwalk, a wooden boardwalk. Because I think of Atlantic City, the famous boardwalk there. But instead of the boardwalk, you call this 1.5 miles. It's an oceanfront walk. You call it the prom.
Right.
The promenade.
Right.
Right?
Yep. Locals refer to it as a prom. And I think it really sets the stage for what Seaside is about in general. Just a really walkable community. Here's this 1.5 mile, you don't have to necessarily go into the sand, get your feet wet, and you're right there spending time along the ocean. And it caters to, wheelchairs, bikes, all that. Just makes it such an easy way to get close to the ocean. People of all abilities, all ages, and just such a really, really cool thing for us
to
have.
You know, I hadn't thought about that. You're right. A lot of times beaches are just inaccessible for somebody in a wheelchair or somebody who has, you know, any kind of issue with walking and, and sand. And so that gets you close. You can hear the roar of the ocean. You're there. You're on the prom. You're in town, and yet you're at the beach.
Yeah, yeah.
That is a great thing about Seaside. So Seaside just took off, and then it was doing really well, and people started building things, and then someone said in probably, the 1960s or something, hey, maybe we should have a convention center here?
Yeah, there was a group of really prominent businessmen who kind of drove the charge to build a convention center. And I think it's really interesting because we've had these moments about every 50 years. If you go again, 1870, and then 1920 was when this, you know, this nice promenade was expanded to its current state. And then 50 years later was when the convention center opened its doors. So 1971... convention center opened its doors, some renovations in the 90s, but essentially, you know, the premise of why that thing was built was to drive commerce and improve the economy through different parts of the year, bringing groups that can have meetings, conferences, etc. And that's really been the driver behind that thing for quite some time now.
So how big is the convention center and what kind of events happen there?
Mm-hmm. The convention center, total usable space is around 22,000 square feet. Conferences, trade shows. We're also a civic center. So, you know, the name Seaside Civic and Convention Center. In 2014, we had right around 30 civic events. So it's for the community as well. Yeah, it's a driver to ultimately put heads in beds. That's a big thing of what we're trying to do. Wonderful sales director there, Gretchen Darnell, that does a great job. So that's a piece of it. But the civic events, Festival of Trees that happens in December, pancake feeds, it's doing a number of things.
Absolutely. Well, Terry just handed me this little note that Sunset Empire Parks and Recreation invites fathers, grandfathers, uncles, and father figures to bring their special little ladies to the daddy-daughter dance. Saturday, February 28th. It's a Saturday from 6 to 8 at the Seaside Civic and Convention Center. So, yes, there are things that you do locally. And then I think maybe is the most famous thing that you do maybe the Miss Oregon pageant?
Definitely the longest running thing. I think the Dorchester Conference, it's coming up in March. I think it's pretty well known, definitely in the political ranks. But it's been coming to Seaside since the 1970s. So it's very long and established, too. Yes, Miss Oregon has been around since the 40s, but Dorchester's right there with it in terms of established and longest running.
And so Gretchen Darnell, shout out to Gretchen, who is marvelous. She's on the road, I know, and bringing groups to Seaside for this. So the kinds of groups that you have at the moment are government groups that are meeting and people who need space for how many folks essentially does the Seaside Convention Center handle right now?
It varies. You know, that's always a tough kind of thing to answer because, as you know, in the meetings and convention business, it really depends on what your group wants. Are they needing to meet as a large group of 400, 500 people and have dinner and then move to a breakout, that same size group of 4 and 5 people? If that's the case, then we may not be the best facility for them. But if they're meeting as a large group and then going to break out into several different sizes, then maybe we are. So it can range. We could have a big pancake feed. And if you combine all the, you know, we might be able to have 800 to 1,000 people in there.
Right.
It just varies on how your setup is going to be handled.
Everything is about
center.
Customization, correct, really, when you're doing meeting space. And actually, the Seaside Convention Center is the only one on the North Coast. And actually, the next one we talked about is in Lincoln City, right? That's the next convention center. And we're going to talk a little bit about how it's been in the news lately. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Talk of Our Town. I'm your host, Donna Quinn. Today, I'm speaking with John Rail. John is the Assistant General Manager, City of Seaside Visitors Bureau, and Seaside Civic and Convention Center. We were just talking about how the Convention Center was built in 1971. It's interesting that you find that time. Every 50 years, there's some big leap in Seaside. Something happens.
So we're coming up. We're almost in 2020. What's next?
So the Seaside Convention Center has been in the news lately about possible expansion. So we need to touch on that and could just let folks know kind of what's happening on that.
Yeah. About 5-6 years ago, our general manager, Russ Vandenberg, kind of looked at, you know, what can we do to improve this facility? And an expansion was something that felt at least would be something worth exploring. So a couple of studies were commissioned that looked at, you know, can we even accommodate an expansion? Are we big enough? Are we the right type of a town to be able to be able to expand our center? And both reports came back and said, yes, we do have the hotel room base. We have the amenities, et cetera, to basically handle this expansion. The next step in 2014, we commissioned a financial feasibility study that was recently concluded. And basically, we asked this financial consultant to give us options for how to fund this. Didn't tell them what we thought the options should be, but they gave us a few options. And that's kind of what's been the controversy right now, is in terms of, you know, how should we fund this thing? And at this point, it's a conversation. We don't know what those financial, you know, if this expansion happens, how will we fund it? Yes, we need to know how we'll fund it before we expand. But at this point in time, much more work is really needed to know if this thing's even going to happen. And so it's a conversation at this point.
Right. And so another, people who are perhaps alarmed about things, they've been reading the paper, hearing about things, it's a work in progress.
Correct.
A process, actually. And if the expansion, the reason that the Seaside Civic and Convention Center feels that they need it is because they feel that they are not getting larger groups that they could accommodate if they were bigger?
Yeah, there's opportunity to potentially recruit larger groups to come to our facility. There's always the concern, hey, a group all of a sudden throws a wrench in it and says they need this. Well, our center's not quite big enough to handle that. So you can change course. You can say, well, we are what we are, and we just need to find the groups that fit in our center, or we can explore the option of expanding the center. And that's what's going on right now. Again, exploration. Yeah, it could happen. It might not happen. We don't know at this point in time.
Okay, so in the process of a conversation with the community,
yep,
about the convention center. And then let's talk a little bit about marketing for the North Coast.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the things? Because I know you've been very involved in that.
Yeah. Obviously, primary role is to market Seaside as kind of a standalone destination. But what's really cool that we've been able to do on the North Coast in the past few years is a little over 3 years ago, we partnered up with the Astoria-Warrenton Chamber of Commerce. Cannon Beach came in a year later, the Cannon Beach Chamber, and we created Oregon's North Coast. Basically an extension of all the different entities that we are into one united brand and look. As you and I talked about before the show, there's such a wide array of activities that you can do. I mean, Astoria is known for kind of its history and adventure, Seaside for family fun, Cannon Beach for romance and relaxation. And we've really tried to take those themes and expand those up and down the coast. And the premise being for that, hey, let's try to get people to expand their stay a couple of days, or if we show them so much to do that they're going to want to come back and visit again. So that's the end goal. This partnership's been really valuable. It's been backed by our state marketing organization, Travel Oregon. That's actually what kickstarted it, through a grant that we received. So, and we have some really great ad campaigns that are out there. We currently have one going, some digital video spots that are running in Portland, Seattle, and the Vancouver, BC market. So it's marketing this entire area. We know that some people are going to stay in Astoria, some in Cannon Beach, some in Seaside, but let's explore the whole area, because ultimately the visitor doesn't know any boundaries.
And it's so diverse. I mean, that's the thing. You get so much on the North Coast. So tourism is doing well. And what does the future look like for tourism in Seaside?
Yeah, tourism's doing very well. We've just, in terms of calendar years, we've wrapped up a third consecutive year of year-over-year growth. Past 2 years being record-setting for Seaside. And I think all trends, you know, we just, speaking of Travel Oregon, we just hosted their state commission meeting a couple of weeks ago, and the outlook is very promising. The state is doing big things at the international level where they're marketing to groups and visitors, and the visa restrictions, they're becoming less for visitors. So I think we're going to continue to see an influx of international visitors. But our Oregonians, we're adventuresome by nature as well, and we're traveling, and so we're seeing a lot of, you know, day trippers, overnighters from our own state, but real positive growth, I think.
And a lot of that, I think, is attributed to the fact that people are saying, you know, where can I drive? You know, mm-hmm. What's not too far away where I can go and have an experience that's different from mine?
Yeah.
I mean, certainly Eastern Oregon's very different from the western part of the state. And how are you using social media in the marketing?
Yeah, so about 3 years ago, as anyone knows, social media as a huge animal. And
maybe we should talk, what is for someone actually maybe listening to this program, and they may say, I don't even really know what social media is. Would you please give them social media 101?
Well, I think the quickest, if you've heard of Facebook, if you've heard of Twitter, Instagram, networks where we're basically engaging with others. I think that's the simple way to put it. Digital engagement with others is kind of, I'd say, my definition of it. But many businesses, marketing organizations, I obviously realize that there's an opportunity there to talk to people. We took the premise that we can't do it all. We can't be involved in all of it. So we really focused on Facebook 3 years ago. And some things have changed with Facebook over the past year that have made it even tougher to do that. But I think the biggest lesson for me in the whole process and our success of going from about 700 likes to almost 50,000 years.
Wait, hold on. The City of Seaside Facebook went from, give those numbers again.
From about 700 about 3 or 4 years ago to where we are now to just shy of 50,000.
Okay. So, can you give us a bit more detail?
So yeah, I mean, our focus was, like I said, I mean, could we do Twitter? Yeah. Could we do some of these other things? Yes. But we said, we're going to focus on one and make this our priority. So Facebook advertising, we focused on that. And we really focused on photos. We know the diversity of this area, but it was the photos, the beautiful images that we were able to capture and share as a part of kind of a really nice lateral advertising campaign that showed all the things that we have. And so many people are familiar with Seaside. Their families came here. Their relatives came here. There's a lot of nostalgia based around it. And so we have people from all over the United States and even outside the United States that love engaging with us. And that's the biggest thing is, we're getting people to engage. A lot of people are pushing messages out there, but we've been really successful. Our engagement, so people that are liking, commenting, sharing, basically talking to us about whatever we're sharing, our engagement is actually up 38% year over year. So we're seeing more people say, hey, I like what you're doing. You know, tell me more. And that's been really, really encouraging.
And so many times you cannot track really where the people are coming from and what advertising is working, what isn't. However, with this, with so much of growth, I'm sure you're seeing that it's putting the idea in people's mind. Hey, we should go to Seaside. Look at this gorgeous picture. Let's go.
Right. Yeah. And it is. It's, I mean, the direct market, being able to go, I want to talk to a specific area, especially when we're advertising, to know that we can reach a specific demographic and then see that they're reacting to that they're talking back to us is really powerful. It's really cool. It's been a lot of fun, and we've just kind of enjoyed the ride. And it makes it easy when you have a nice, beautiful area to share. I think it's challenging for a lot of businesses. We get to share the entire Seaside area, and sometimes that expands outside of Seaside, and it's so beautiful. And so we're really, really lucky in that way to have such a beautiful environment to share.
Well, what's coming up now, John? I know that you just had the Jazz Fest.
Mm-hmm.
And what kinds of things are you excited about that are happening in Seaside now?
Yeah, so Pouring at the Coast, which I think this will be year 6, is happening at the Seaside Civic and Convention Center next weekend. So next Friday and Saturday, I believe that's the 6th and the 7th. There's a brewer's dinner happening on Friday night. And this brewer's dinner is really cool. Kids from the Seaside High School culinary program are actually preparing the dinner. Not the alcohol, not the beer, but they're preparing the dinner. Chef Chris Holland from Baked Alaska, he's now their instructor. But this group of kids, they've won the state culinary championship 2 years in a row. And so, and represented Oregon at nationals. And so it's really, really cool that we have these kids that are going to be preparing this meal. Tickets are limited for that event to 120. And I know it was close to sold out last night. So hurry if you're interested in that.
How do people get tickets for that?
Pouringatthecoast.com is probably the easiest way to go about
pouring.
That.
Pouring?
Pouring at the Coast.
So Pouring, pouringatthecoast.com. Okay.
Correct. The following night is the tasting event. That's kind of the main showcase. There'll be upwards of about 40 brewers on hand, sharing all their craft. And that'll happen from 3 to 8 p.m. on Saturday, March 7th at the Convention Center. Tickets start about $10.
So what's the website people can go to if they want to find out all the things that are happening in Seaside?
Best place to go is seasideor.com. We have a really robust event calendar. And we try to list things that are not just in Seaside, but in Astoria, Cannon Beach, up and down the North Coast. Try to make it really a base to learn as much as you can about the area and what's going on.
John, we just have a few minutes left. And I know before we went on the air, you talked about how you'd really like to see folks become tourists, you know, local people, you know, become. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. I think, you know, we live in places and we often kind of get complacent with where we are. I think we know the reasons deep why we're there, and we have kind of our favorite things that we like to do. But I think it's easy to get stuck in a rut sometimes and forget why people are visiting our area. And I'd really just like to encourage people that there are so many natural opportunities to really explore this area and learn more about it. And the great thing I think that will help us as a tourism destination down the road is the more our locals know about our community, they become ambassadors and can talk more about it. And that will ultimately help our economy that much better. Throughout the county, about 1 in 4 jobs is related to hospitality. In Seaside, that goes up to about 35%. So many people are impacted by tourism, and the greater knowledge we have to kind of share with visitors when they're here, they're going to leave feeling like they had a really great experience. And that's kind of one of my biggest goals for people, I think.
Yes, I think you're right. Educated locals who are tourists in their own town, because we forget, you're right. We become too busy with our lives and we're living a bubble. So getting out of that, going to the attractions and looking with the eyes of a visitor and not just a local.
Yeah. Definitely.
And learning. Any last thing you'd like to say? Oh, Terry Wilson wants to say something.
Well, I was just, there's something that I'm interested in, and you are too, because we're ham radio operators. There's a convention that comes every year, and it's been going on forever, and it's the largest amateur radio convention in this area, I mean in the Northwest, and that happens in June.
Yep. CPAC, right. Ham CPAC. Operators.
Yep. Ham operators, yes.
The hams put antennas on top the building, and they talk to the world. I've talked to people from Britain, got hams that had booths there. Yeah.
Well, there's just an awful lot happening, John. I don't know how you see. You seem like you're fairly calm. You don't seem, but you're doing an awful lot.
Oh, thanks.
But it's exciting. You like it.
It is. Yeah. I mean, I think. If you stop and kind of get caught up in it, maybe it can seem overwhelming. But I think I enjoy working with people, and the great part about living in this area is there's a lot of great people that are passionate about what they're doing, and we just get the opportunity to kind of share that and make it even that much better for people. So
there's always that challenge with tourism to make sure we take care of locals, we take care of the community, preserve its authenticity, and people are worried about gentrification. I think that North Coast, we're still doing a pretty darn good job of maintaining our identities.
I agree with you. I think we're holding true to our roots, and really, I mean, you see things that basically connecting with nature. That's the, you know, why do people visit here? We've been blessed with some really great weather, and we've seen a lot of people flock to the coast because of that. But ultimately, I think it comes down to what our natural surroundings are. We have a convention center. We have great museums, Maritime Museum here in Astoria. But one of the biggest reasons that people will always come here is the natural setting that we have, and that's alive and very, very well.
Oh, well said. So we've got the river, we got the ocean, we have the forest. Yes, it's true. Thank you so much, John, for
being with us.
John Rail of the City of Seaside Visitors Bureau and Seaside Civic and Convention Center. If you want more information, you can go to the website, which is
seasideor.com.
All right. Well, and we forgot to talk about spring break, darn it. And Terry's telling me we don't have much time, but it's happening.
March 23rd through the 27th is Oregon and Idaho. The following 3 weeks, you see a lot of the schools from Washington come in. So basically mid-March to mid-April, we're going to see spring breakers arriving with their families.
Okay, excellent. All right. Well, thank you so much, John, for being
here.
Thank you, Terry Wilson, engineer extraordinaire. And my gratitude to local talented banjo instructor Michael Brunn for his original theme music for this program. Until next week. Find a moment for yourself today. Take a deep breath. And focus on the things that are going well in your life. There will always be those things that don't go well, but focus on the things that are going well and give yourself a loving hug or compassionate, you know, pat on the back for being you, for being grateful to be here in this moment, the only moment which exists on the amazing planet we call Earth.